Welcome to Speak a Dogcast. My name is David Farb, Animal Behavior Specialist, and I am broadcasting from WOUF Woof Studios in beautiful Palm City, Florida. Thank you so much for joining me again today. If you haven't clicked that subscribe or that follow button, do so right now. New episodes come out every Wednesday, and you're going to want to check them out. You can also follow me on Instagram at Speak a Dogcast, and join me there every single Tuesday for Training Tip Tuesday, where I bring a brand new dog training tip to you every single week. If the visual thing is more your thing, subscribe to my YouTube channel at Speak a Dogcast. And if you want to support the show even further, become a patron of the show today at patreon.com/speakadogcast. If you guys love what you're hearing, if you love the show, if you love the podcast, do me a favor and take a moment, scroll on down, Spotify, Apple Podcast users, yes, scroll on down, give me that 5-star rating, leave me a review, I would really appreciate it. Now on today's show, the quick fix to dog training. We'll talk more about that. And we also have Instagram dog trainers. They're everywhere. You know, you see dog training and quick fixes and this and that. We'll talk all about that as well. Then comes the history of Animal Mascots 101. And we'll be back next week with the listener Q&A. So no listener Q&A this week, but we will be back next week with it. Feel free to email any questions you guys have to me. Questions at speakadogcast.com. Or you can just, hey, message me on social media. That works too. Your question could get featured on the podcast. Now, before we get going today's show, I have to give you that trivia question. And today's question is going to be, what is the largest fish in the ocean? Yes, what is the largest fish in the ocean? I will give you the answer to the question somewhere in today's podcast. So be sure you stick around, sit, stay, and enjoy the show. Next on Speak a Dogcast, the quick fix to dog training. There is no quick fix to dog training. Look, guys, it's just the reality of it. It's a science. It's based in science. It's based on conditioning. It's based on repetition. And all of those things equal time and effort, you know? There is no easy way around it. There is no quick fix. And while sure, if you know what you're doing, you'll be surprised how fast you can make progress. It's rarely an overnight thing. That's just how it goes. These things you see on TV and whatever and YouTube, it's just not the reality of it. Things just don't happen quickly every time when it comes to dog training. Now, if we're talking about training a puppy versus training an adult dog or a rescue or something like that, sure, we're going to see differences. A puppy is a blank slate. It's a sponge. They want to absorb it all. And so it's, of course, like it's really easy to get across to them and they learn very quickly. But if we've got something like a rescue dog who comes with baggage, who comes with issues, then yeah, like it's going to take a little time and it's going to take even more time than just an average dog. Okay. You know, I read something recently from the, one of the rescues in our area that I actually the rescue I got Nemo from, Big Dog Ranch Rescue. And it never ceases to amaze me, which I guess it shouldn't at this point, because how often do you read these stories? But they had a dog returned because, quote, the dog got the zoomies. The dog had some energy that they weren't getting out as the dog owner. And somehow that's the dog's fault. Again, it's like people expect a dog to just be perfect off the bat, or they go, oh, I put 2 days of training in and the dog isn't listening, so we need to return the dog. I can't even begin to understand the mentality that you think everything should just align for you like that. Like a dog should just be, I've rescued this dog. It should be perfect. I've given it a home and food. Why is it not just acting perfect for me? Because you have to train the damn thing, guys. Like as a human being, we don't put that title on it, but we train children. We do. We condition children to not be brats, although, well, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all conditioning. It's all education. It's all learning and it's all training. What do we call it? Look, like it's funny. What do we call potty training, right? With a kid, how do we teach a child to use the toilet? We train them. We condition them to have that response, to know I have a biological response I feel, and I have to do something different with it other than just go, okay? And when we think about it, it's the exact same thing with the dog. It's literally the exact same thing with the dog. We have to teach our dog to have biological response, go, oop, I need to hold it, and not just go. And then we need to condition them and reinforce them to go outside. kid, we reinforce. I've never potty trained a kid before, but come on, it's you reinforce and reward the child when they go in the potty. It's not rocket science. So that's the thing. Parents, how many of your children were housebroken overnight? Anybody's kid just immediately got it within 24 hours and was just no problems, no accidents? No, of course not. Because why? Training is a process. There is no quick fix. And again, it's not like this is, you know, oh, David, you haven't been doing it long enough, or you're not the expert that knows all the magic tricks. And guys, there are no magic tricks. The only reason an expert makes it look magic is because they understand it better than you. Right? Like, it's not magical. They just do it better than you do. really not that hard. Like, think about basketball. I mean, how can you even begin to explain the physics of getting a ball into a hoop? No, but over through conditioning and repetition, you do it. But if you understood all those physics and you were able to replicate that scenario, you'd be able to get the ball in the hoop every single time. But you can't, because you have to learn. It's a learned behavior. That's just the way the world works. So there is no quick fix. So by the rules of conditioning, right, this is the thing. The rules of conditioning sort of dictate that there is no such thing as a quick fix. Because think about it. Let's just give a basic example of a sit and a puppy. If I'm teaching a puppy a sit command, if I'm teaching them, they've never learned it, they don't know to do it on command, therefore, the puppy doesn't know what I want, right? This is so totally blank. If I look at him and go sit, he's going to look at me and go, huh? Right? Like, what do you, so we have to condition a response. So what we end up doing is we get the dog into a sit position. How we do that doesn't matter, but we start to, whether we use a leash reinforcement sampling or any of these things that we can do to guide a dog into a sit behavior, or just capturing a sit behavior, whatever the case might be, we start to take that behavior of sitting, we pair it with the word sit, and we give them a treat and affection for it, all of a sudden increasing the likelihood the dog goes, wait, I just heard the word sit, I sat down, I got a treat. Now, think about it. Usually takes a few repetitions. Now, some dogs will pick it up 5 or 6 times, no problem. They got the sit down, and I mean down. Some puppies will just get it. It's a pretty easy one, a pretty straightforward one. It's a normal behavior they go into on their own anyway. It's not like it's giving a paw or something, you know. It's a sit. They're going to sit and relax at some point on their own. That's capturing the behavior. Okay, so when we talk about 5 or 6 repetitions, what is that? That's a process. What is that? That's time. What is that? Overnight? No. If I come back the next day after only 6 repetitions and I ask the dog to sit again, but it might take them a minute. They may have to think about it. They may screw up 1 or 2 times before they sit. Process, time, training. So when we go back to the dog at Big Dog Ranch, unfortunately, the dog that was returned to them because of zoomies, the only way to condition that out of a dog is by conditioning, time, exercise, training. There's just no other way to put it. So when I do, how many times over the years I've walked into people's homes and guys, they want a magical wand just waved for them, and they want the dog to just behave instantly. And David, well, you're an expert, or David, I've heard you're so good at this. And it's like, well, yeah, but you got to do the work too, guys. This isn't just like, I can't control what happens in the week that I'm not there. I come, we do some training, I'm gone for a week, I come back. What happened in those 7 days I wasn't there? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I can't keep strengthening and conditioning and training your dog when I'm not there. So people to think that they can just rely on this once a week, this person is an expert, this once a week is just going to change my dog's life, you're in for a rude awakening. If you're thinking about adopting a dog, I need you to really think about what that means. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to need to do some training, and there's not going to be a quick fix. It's going to take time. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take being educated on knowing what to do, right? Like, that's part of it. So there is no quick fix. I need you to have that in your brain before adopting the dog. There is no quick fix. Before, hell, getting a puppy, right? We don't even have to die. Going to a breeder, getting a puppy. I need you to think twice and go, I have to train this dog. This takes time. This takes effort. This takes not sleeping in. This takes cleaning up messes if it's a puppy. I mean, this is what training is. it's exhausting sometimes, guys. It is, you know, and there's been times, many, many times over the years where I literally go months on end without having, you know, just my own dogs. I'm going months on end and I have client dogs. I'm in and out, in and out, in and out, months on end without stopping. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when my clients go, that's exhausting, I'm like, dude, I don't want to hear it. Like, try taking 20 dogs for a walk. Try dealing with 20 dogs in your home. And it's like, I'm not like complaining, but people want to complain about something they put themselves into. Like, I didn't make you get this dog, guys. I didn't make you go get a German Shepherd. Now, did I? But you don't want to walk the German Shepherd. You don't want to do what it takes to train the dog. And that's the other thing. You can even listen to my podcast. If you want to take 30% of my advice, I'm just telling you the truth. If you want to take 30% of my advice, you're going to get 30% results. Moreover, more importantly, if you don't walk your dog, screw everything else. If you don't walk your dog consistently and correctly, you're never going to get where you want to go in your training. And people like to do that. It's quick fix, skip the walk. Let's work on sit, stay, play time. Let's work on swim time. Let's work on cuddle time. That's what they work on. They go, I don't really want to walk the dog. You do understand the expert told you to do that. And that's the first and foremost thing you have to do to get there. No, David, quick fix. There's no such thing, guys. You can't substitute the walk. Like, a side note, how many times have you heard me say that? So when I hear people go, oh, David, I have to get up an extra hour early. I'm like, I didn't make you get this dog, guys. This wasn't my decision. This wasn't my choice. That's your life. I chose to bring 20 dogs into my house and I'm crazy for it. And I'm paying for those consequences. You know what I mean? But I'm not complaining to my clients going every 2 seconds going, well, I could, believe me, I could tell them plenty of things about their dogs. And I do sometimes, but in the diplomatic, correct, professional way. Most of the time. So you cannot skip over a step to quick fix train your dog. It's just not going to work, guys. It's just not going to work. When you see these things on the internet that say it's faster, or TV, it's faster. It's faster is not always better. I'm sorry. It's just not. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, you know, it reminds me, and how often do I go back to golf? It reminds me of golfing because golf is life, guys. Like, it's amazing how much you can learn from golf about life. Because here's the thing. Everybody wants to, well, at least every male golfer wants to drive the ball as far as they can. Now, of course, we want to hit it straight too, but we want to drive the ball as far as we can. And what's fascinating is if you really start paying attention to good golfers, single-digit handicap golfers, and they know a golf course they're on, they're going to pull out like what most people are going to be pulling out, the big driver. Other golfers are going to pull out an iron. They're going to pull out a 4-iron maybe on this hole. And it's like, it's a par 5. Why are you pulling out a 4-iron? He goes, because I know I slice, because I know I can't hit the fairway with my driver here. Distance is not always best in golf. It's about strategy. And it's the same thing in dog training. You have to go about this stuff correctly and approach it right. And that's, you know, what a metaphor for dog training, because it's true. Every golf course and every hole is different. And that's the truth with dogs. This is why I can't just hand somebody a manual and go, here, train your dog. This is why there is no quick fix. This is why there is no magic wand. It's the same thing with golf. That's what makes golf so damn hard. Because, hell, you can come back to the same course, same hole, but the wind's different today. The grass is different today. And it changes everything. Now, dogs aren't as finicky at that. That's more like a cat. I would say a golf course can sometimes be more like a cat than a dog. In that sense, that's kind of funny. But you see the point here. Dog's a little different. There is no quick fix. There is no magic wand. What I will tell you is if you follow these steps, and sure, we have to alter them dog to dog a little bit, but if you take the right steps, the right processes, the right education, the right knowledge, and you apply it, you will be surprised at the result you get. So, you know, I've been challenging a lot this year in my podcast. I challenge you guys, walk your dogs more. Create more consistency in your routine. Create more consistency in your training. 5-10 minutes a day. That's all I'm asking. 5-10 minutes a day of some extra training, more than you ever do on average, right? You'll see a huge difference in your dog just working them mentally, physically, everything, okay? No quick fixes. It takes time. It takes consistency. It takes dedication. And of course, it takes knowledge, right? No quick fixes to dog training, guys. Dedicate yourselves. You'll see a difference in your dog in no time. Are you tired of your dog barking all the time? Or maybe you want them to stop jumping on people when they come over? Or does your dog take you for a walk instead of the other way around? Well, we can help. At The Nature of Training and Speak a Dogcast, we are committed to improving the relationships and lives people have with their pets. No matter what behavioral issue you are experiencing, from an unruly puppy to more severe issues, we can help. Our virtual training programs are catered to you and your pet and create a training plan that gets results. For more information, you can check out our website at www.thenatureoftraining.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Speak a Dogcast. With the ability to connect, teach, and train with pet owners around the world, together we can make a better home for our furry friends. The Nature of Training and Speak a Dogcast, helping you achieve success with your pet. Speak a Dogcast, Instagram dog trainers. Yeah, I mean, I'm one myself, right? And you think about it, I am. And here's the thing, there's a lot of them out there, and I'm not saying that they're all bad, but what I will say is I would say for every 1 to 2 good ones, there's probably 30, 40, 50 bad ones. That's the reality of it. And that's the problem, is you're on the internet, you're trying to find information for your dog, and who do you listen to? How do you know what's legitimate? How do you know what's not? And, you know, look, to start with, the first thing I can say is just take the information from 4 or 5 of them and implement it. See what happens. See which ones get you the better result. Because at the end of the day, isn't that what's important? You guys get the result that you're looking for with your dog. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to give information, you know, and if you like what I'm saying, great. If you don't, find somebody else. That's the wonderful thing about the internet. But that's also the horrible thing about the internet, because like I said, there is a ton of crap out there. And, you know, here's the thing. I used to work for a company that did animal production training for television, for film, those kinds of things. And we worked with, you know, a lot of different animal species, a lot of different animals, not just dogs and cats. And the one common theme, here it is. The one common theme you learn about TV and film and animals is that It's never, and it's just like people in TV and film. It's all fake, guys. It's all fake because it's incredibly easy to hit stop recording, record, stop recording, record, edit, splice, and make things look the way you want them to. And it's no different nowadays. If anything, it's worse with Instagram because we have amateur people, amateur professionals, that's almost what I'd call them, that are going out and calling themselves dog trainers, putting titles on themselves, earning a certification that doesn't require that you prove you can even train a dog. You heard me right, guys. And so that's the thing. You have these people who can just splice and dice and edit real good, make themselves look real good, and they're getting all of these likes and sponsors and this and that. And it's tough. It's tough for someone like myself where I look at it and I don't want to sell my soul. I don't want to immediately just sell out to anything. And yes, that's part of my problem. It's also part of what keeps me, and that's, I'm okay with that. Very simply put, like as I grow and as we do this, I'm not going to endorse any product I don't believe is a legitimate product. I'm not going to put something out there and go, try this, it works, if I haven't tried it myself and know that it works many times, not just once, right? Oh, it worked one time with my dog at home. Cool. Have you trained hundreds and hundreds of dogs and used that technique with it? No? All right, don't put it out on the internet. But people do, you know, so, all right, I'm going to rant and I got to keep it all together. So we're going to talk about a couple things when it comes to this Instagram dog trainer stuff, from my own personal experience and working with film and TV with animals, as well as what I'm seeing. First thing I want you guys to note, and this extends past the internet. The first thing I want you guys to note is, unfortunately, there is zero governing bodies in the United States when it comes to dog trainers. Zero. None. Zilch. Zip. There's certifications being offered left and right and up and down and sideways and behind you, but that's just it. They are a certification. They have no legal standing. They have no obligation to prove that person is legitimate in any way. And that's all these certifications are. I know some of them are nationally accredited and veterinarians will certify them in a bit, blah, 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 blah. And that's wonderful, guys. That's great. But at the end of the day, it is not regulated by anybody but the company who makes money by putting that out. Do you see the problem there? So this is my gripe. Years ago, when I first started off, I'll never forget. And at that point, I'd already worked with, not first started off, but a few years in. I was starting my business back up after I worked at the production company. I was going back into the dog training stuff. And I walked into a couple local veterinarians' offices, you know, introduced myself, trying to network. And I mean, 9 times out of 10, I got a really nasty attitude from the people, just to be honest. And I get it. You got 50 people walking in every day saying, I'm Joe Schmo, but doesn't mean you have to be a jerk to everybody. And a lot of times, you know what I'd get? Well, are you CPDT certified? Right back. It's not, well, how many years have you been doing this? And where do you work out of? And where have you worked before? No, it's, are you CPDT certified? So, well, I've trained birds, dogs, cats, pigs, otters, all successfully aggressive dogs. I've done all. Yeah, but are you CPDT certified? Like, are you kidding me? So I'm sorry, you're asking me if I paid a company $100 and took a test and got a 70% or better on the test? That's what you're asking me? You're not asking me if I train dogs, if I have any experience or knowledge training dogs. You're asking me if I paid a company and passed a test. That's what you're asking me. Okay. Now, again, guys, some of these certifications have got better. They've gotten better over time. But back when I first started, it was a piece of paper. And in my opinion, in a lot of ways, it still is. This is my humble opinion. You don't have to agree with it. I don't really care. But I have found that a lot of these trainers take these certifications and hold them over their heads screaming like they are gods. And I look at them and go, how long have you been training? Oh, I've been training about 6 months. You've been training 6 months and you're trying to sit here and tell me you know everything. Like, I've seen it multiple times. Multiple times. And then you can tack on all these extra certifications. You can have 15 letters past your name instead of just 4. Can start having fear-free approval and certification. Guys, if the dog is already scared, how are you fear-free? I get you're trying to not instill fear in the dog from yourself. I get what you're saying, but if the dog is scared, it's not fear-free training. This is my gripe with the Instagram trainers, guys. Knock my table. Sorry about that. Can you hear the frustration in my voice? So when we talk about Instagram dog, I saw one the other day who, look, the technique wasn't even bad. It just bothers me because they don't show the failures. They only really show the successes and they cut every fight. This is why you'll notice on my podcast, guys, if you ever watch my YouTube channel, I don't cut it. Call me old school. Call me an old person. I don't really care. I can't stand this ADD jumping, cutting crap. The biggest reason is, what are they hiding? When I screw up, you hear me screw up. You know what I mean? Like, sure, sometimes I'll find myself not starting a segment correctly, maybe start it over, but like, I just whacked the table and I'm not cutting that. You know, like, I can't stand the videos that jump all over the place because all I'm asking is, what are you not showing us? And I ask that every time I see a dog training video. And sometimes I get it. You can't show the 20 minutes it takes to train the, there it is. Darren, did you hear me say it? Sometimes you can't show the 20 minutes it actually takes to train the behavior. And there's my gripe with Instagram dog trainers. They're not showing the reality of it. Now, sure, sometimes they'll write an essay below the post and you have to disseminate through the essay to get to the very bottom to see, now this actually took me 21 weeks to train this behavior. Everybody sugarcoats it for the hits and for the likes. You know what I mean? And it's just not the reality of it. It's just not. And so when I do get phone calls, when I do get emails, when I do get people going, well, can we train this in like 3 weeks? And it's like, are you living on Mars? What? You know, I'll never forget when I worked at the production company. We had a new dog, new rescue come in, and they wanted me to get this dog in show within like 2 to 3 weeks. And I looked at them and said, are you freaking nuts? Do you know how training works? You want me to get an entire routine with this dog who just came in? We've never trained, never been in show. You want me to get him in 2 or 3 weeks? Have you worked in dog training before? So I really wanted to look at them and say, like, cool, why don't you show me how it's done? Let's see you do it. Oh my gosh. It's just, these two segments today really are hand in hand. You know, they are. They go hand in hand today because it's so true. There's no quick fixes. There's none of this. And with Instagram, that's all they show us, isn't it? The quick fix, do this 5 minutes a day and your dog will be perfect. And maybe they're showing you a great technique, but how do we disseminate? So this is the tough part, guys. Okay, so how do you figure out who's legitimate and who's not? The first way, I already told you, the first way is to take their information, try to implement it and see if it works. Okay, that's the first thing. But the second thing is, I try to look for legit experience. Look at the pictures. Do you see them actually working the dog, or do you see clips of like the finished end result of the training? You know what I mean? And sure, they might have a few of those, but if you see other videos of them actually working with the animals, and I admit, like, I got to get these going too. I got to get time-lapse videos up, and I'm working on it. I'm not the best at this stuff, and I'm learning and getting it going. So, but that kind of stuff is what I want you to look for. Certifications. Look, certifications are hit and miss, in my opinion. There are legitimate people that have certifications, and that's fine, but it's not an end-all be-all kind of thing. It's really not. And so I need you to take those certifications, and that needs to be further down the list. Testimonials. How about that? How about, can we look at testimonials, see what real people are saying? Is there anybody actually saying anything about it? Where have they worked before? Are they 50 years old and all they've ever done is train dogs and they think they're an expert? You know what I mean? They might be. There's the thing. They might be. But I love seeing if there's a little bit of variety. That's what, you know, have they volunteered at rescues? Have they been ahead of a program? And you don't have to be. But these are things that you might want to look for that show a little more legitimacy. Full-blown honesty, the other day, one of my buddies is at a trade show in another state. And he runs into the, or not run, but he's at this trade show and he sees this animal people there and he starts talking to him and one of them knows who I am. And I did not, Robbie, didn't know her name, did not know her name. I'm sitting there going on Facebook, looking at the mutual friends, didn't know her name. Don't recognize her, can't figure it out. And then it turns out she worked at the same company, but a different location. So she, I guess, knew who I was. But even myself, I caught myself going, who is this person? Like, are they legit? Are they, you know, come on, what is this guy? How do they know who I am? I don't even know this. No. And then I go on their website and I read all about her, and her bio is phenomenal. Her bio is amazing. She's worked at incredible places, done amazing things. It looks like the company they own is amazing. Maybe we'll even get them on as a guest. I need to get guests back on the show, so maybe we'll do that. But that right there, 2 minutes, maybe 5 minutes of research, and I could see very quickly this person was legitimate. That's all it takes. Do a little research, guys. You've got this phone. It's already in your hands. You're already watching the Instagram reel. Google their name. See where they've worked. See what they've done. Okay. And again, some people just own their own business for 50 years and do really well at it. I mean, look at Caesar. You know, he's one of those guys who he's done one thing really well for a very long time, and it's brought him great success and brought, more importantly, dogs and dog owner successes. So it's not to say it's all bad. Now, let's talk about Caesar for just a moment. Do your homework. Go watch him. It's not his fault to some degree, but go watch the editing. Go watch the time lapses. Go watch the kind of stuff. And that's, I give Caesar credit on his old shows. I'll be honest, I haven't watched his newer stuff. But his old shows used to give the time lapse. It's been 20 minutes. It's been 45 minutes. Now, they don't show you that whole thing, but they tell you how much time has gone by to get Caesar to work with that dog. And what's fascinating is how many people just ignore that and go, Caesar gets things to change instantly. It's like, no, he doesn't. You know, he takes dogs for 3 months to create, minimum 3 months to make changes. 90 days? Instagram dog trainers, give me a break. Go look at how fast you can fix everything. If someone says to you on Instagram, if there's a dog trainer on Instagram that goes, you can change this overnight, it's not true, guys. It's not true. I'm sorry. It's just not. Okay? So Instagram dog trainers, there's a lot of great info. And that's just it. There is a lot of great info out there. But you as the dog owner, you as the responsible dog owner, you have to do your part by doing your research, knowing who you're getting information from, and knowing if it's legitimate or not. Do your research. A little Googling goes a long way. And you can help, well, filter out the bad from the good when it comes to those Instagram dog trainers. Next on Speak a Dog Cast, it's the history of Animal Mascots 101. Today, we'll be talking about Boston University. Founded in 1839 by a group of Boston Methodists, originally the campus was located in Newbury, Vermont, before being chartered in Boston in 1869. Now, their mascot is very appropriately the Boston Terrier dog. Yes. Now, the Boston Terrier was voted in by the students in 1922. And it was thought that since the Terrier had always been associated with Boston, it seemed only logical that they choose the dog as their mascot. Now, there was an article written in the BU News stating some of the reasons for the decision. They said, The Boston Terrier may be small, but he is marked by impressive traits. The courage and determination of a bulldog, the speed zip, aggressiveness, and enterprise that distinguish the Terrier breed, and above all, loyal. The article went on to say that he is the only animal which is distinctive of Boston and Boston alone. His official name is Boston Terrier. No other college can steal our thunder in that choice. There are other bears, other tigers, and other bulldogs, but there will only be one Boston Terrier. I love it. Now, there were many different dogs used over the years to represent the school. There was a Pep, a Kappa, Danny the Second, Gulliver, Fumbles, love that one, Terrier the Third, and finally, a costumed mascot was introduced in 1983. Now, he earned the nickname Rhett because one of the school colors is scarlet. Nobody loves scarlet more than Rhett, a reference to the movie and the novel Gone with the Wind. The answer to today's trivia question, what is the largest fish in the ocean? It's the whale shark. Yes. Now, despite its huge size and maybe intimidating appearance, whale sharks are actually quite a docile fish and feed mostly on plankton. That's going to wrap up the podcast today. Thank you so much for listening in. If you haven't clicked that subscribe or that follow button, do so right now. New episodes come out every Wednesday, and you're going to want to check them out. You can find my Instagram channel at SpeakaDogCast. Join me there every Tuesday for Training Tip Tuesday. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at SpeakaDogCast and become a patron of the show today at patreon.com/SpeakaDogCast. If you love the show, if you love what you're hearing, scroll on down, give me that 5-star rating, click that thumbs up button. I would greatly appreciate it. I want to thank my patrons, my pup supporter Ragula Wright, and my dog friend Maureen Crozen. Have a wonderful week, and don't forget, get out there and walk your dog. We'll be right back.